Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode.
So we're continuing on this theme of justification and really trying to understand what it means and how it applies to our life. And for today's study, we're going to find out that we can have peace from God. I would say the world is searching for peace. I think about all the turmoil that's going on, especially in the Middle East. As you hear about all the wars, the bombings, I think people want peace. And that's something that you and I want to obtain personally in our lives, but then also corporately within our families, our community, and so forth. And so we want to talk through what exactly it means that we can find peace from God from Romans chapter 5. We have to remember two important distinctions in our Christian life, and it is this. It is our standing and our state. Our standing is we're complete in Jesus Christ. It's final. It's perfect. That is the justification. Then we have our state. We're growing in Jesus Christ. This is fluid, progressive. This would be sanctification. Big words, right? But justification is this. It's God's instantaneous act in which he does two things. He forgives all our sin, and then he declares us righteous. He removes a negative and adds a positive. We are justified by faith and not by works the moment we call on Jesus Christ to save us. So Romans chapter 5, it says this, as Paul kind of sums it up and brings it to the climax. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And so the word therefore reveals the conclusion, the climax. These are the active results of our justification. This is how justification is lived out in our lives. And Paul lists seven spiritual blessings, if you will, from justification in chapter 5, but we will examine just two of them. The first active result of justification in our life is this: we have peace with God. You see, before we were justified, you and I struggled to find peace in life. We're battling and fighting against ourselves, against others, and even against God. Romans 5:10 says that we were enemies with God before we came to faith in Jesus Christ. It is a result of our justification that we get peace with God. And peace comes. Why? Because we stop trying to earn our way to God. We stop trying to earn favor with him. We stop trying to do things our way. When you think about peace, it means this: freedom from disturbance. I think the opposite of it would be war, dissension, dispute, disagreement. I think peace is a tranquility of mind and life. We can have peace in three different areas. One is psychologically. That's comfort within. That's mental peace. We can have it relationally, harmony with other people. And then spiritually, harmony with God and ourselves. And so we can have peace with God because we are forgiven. There's no more hostility between us and God. No more sin blocking our relationship with him. No more guilt keeping us away from him. And so the peace with God means that our conscience is cleared. The overwhelming weight of guilt and shame is gone. You see, when you feel guilty or you feel shame, you do what? You typically stay away from or avoid that person that you feel that guilt, that shame towards. You'll stay away from them or you'll avoid them altogether. And that's what you and I do. That's why we're separated from God. God doesn't move. You go back to the garden of Adam with Adam and Eve. They went and hid. Why? Because of the guilt they disobeyed. That brought in shame because they realized who they were, what they had done. And so they ran from God. So a question comes up as we think about justification, as we relay this into our peace. If we've been forgiven of all our sin, both past, present, and future, why should we still confess our sins to him? Why do we still need to ask for forgiveness? And that's a great question. I've asked it myself. I wondered about it early on in my Christian life. I was like, I've been forgiven of all my sins. That's what you're saying, Pastor. Why on earth do I need to continue asking for forgiveness? That doesn't make sense logically. If they're all forgiven, then I don't need to keep asking for forgiveness. But then you run into this verse in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John was writing to believers, Christians. He made that very clear in that letter. So our present and future sin does not affect our standing. Remember, our standing is settled. It is done. We're perfect. We're justified, but our state does change based on our growth or the lack of growth. So remember our sanctification, what we're doing in our life to draw closer to God, to be more like Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. What the whole emphasis of this podcast is taking our next step to be more like Him. You see, the sin in our life produces guilt and shame, which causes you and I to do what? To avoid God. But not the other way around. And confessing keeps our relationship close. For an example, if I was hiding something from my wife or lying to her, guess what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start avoiding her. I'm going to start building a wall. I'm going to begin creating distance because I don't want her to know about it or to perceive it or find out about it. But when you and I confess that sin, it tears the wall down. Ephesians 2 talks about we have a middle wall of partition between you and God, and Jesus Christ came to tear down that middle wall of partition, meaning there's a wall between you and God, and Jesus Christ destroyed it. And now you and I have, as we're going to talk in a moment, access to God, because wow, we have peace with God. What else does peace mean? We have a clear conscience, but we also don't have to fear. The idea of war, dissension, dispute brings fear. The idea of death brings fear. There's many people that have a fear of death, and they try to self-medicate themselves with many things, whether it be pleasure, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever, to numb the reality of death. The idea that we'll be judged for our sin can produce fear. But as justified, as believers in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. We no longer have to fear death, judgment, or hell. Peace with God then means we can find rest in life. As a result of having peace with God, we can find peace with ourselves and then with other people. You and I can have a true inner peace, and this is what we're talking about. Justification gives you and I a true inner peace despite what is going on all around us. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 11. For some of you, it may be familiar. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And watch what he says. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And watch this, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That deepest part of you, you will find rest there. That is what Jesus does for us in our life. We can't find it ourselves. We can't produce it. We can't manufacture it. It comes from Jesus Christ. And so as a result of justification, we have peace with God, which clears our conscience, which removes fear. It means we can have peace and find rest in life. But secondly, we also have access to God. Think about that. We have access to God because we have peace with God. Access is a result of the peace that God gives. We have access to God. Why? Because we are accepted. Remember, before we're separated from God, but now we have access. We were rejected. Now we're not. We're not separated anymore. And now Jesus Christ has brought us in and we have full access to God. Think about this. How important is it in our lives to be accepted by other people? What does it feel like when you're not accepted? That's hurtful, right? We all want to be accepted to a certain extent. Some people care more than others, obviously, but we all want to be accepted. Acceptance plays a huge part in our life. I mean, no one wants to be rejected because that's the opposite of acceptance. That feeling of rejection hurts, it stings, it causes us to feel lonely, can bring thoughts of we have no value, no worth, who am I, why am I here? All those types of things can go around in our mind. But as a result of believing on Jesus Christ, God accepts us, watch this, just the way we are. You and I don't have to change to be accepted. We don't have to morph into a certain type of person to be accepted. How many times have we done that? To be accepted into some type of peer group or the coworkers or whatever the case is, the classmates, the fraternity, sorority, whatever it is. We morph into a certain type of person that's not our true self because we do that in hopes that they will accept us rather than allowing people to accept us for who we are. God does that. And we have access to Him, complete access, and we can be ourselves with Him. So we have access because we're accepted, but we have access also because we've been adopted. Now, I want you to think about trying to access the president of a country or maybe your favorite sports star, movie actor, actress, whatever it is. For me, I love Michael Jordan. I watched him play basketball down through the 90s, and I would love to be able to meet him, talk with him. But, you know, I cannot get to him. I had the privilege to go to a Mudcats game way back in the day when he had finished basketball and was trying his hand at baseball. And he was playing there in the minor leagues. And I remember sitting there, and there was a kid who jumped the fence. He was Michael Jordan was playing outfield. And the kid jumped the fence, ran out there with a baseball in his hand. And before he could get to Michael Jordan, security and some other people came out there and got him. He was so close, but he could not get access to him. And I cannot get access to him. I don't have his cell phone number. I can't get a meeting with him. He's just out of reach. But you know who could access the President of the United States, Donald Trump, or Michael Jordan, their sons? Their son could call, text, and guess who's going to answer? The father. Or just show up. The son would have the father's full attention. Do you understand at the moment of justification, you are born again? You're born into God's family just as you are. You're adopted into his family. You're placed into the family as a natural born to enjoy all the rights and privileges of that natural born. You are a child of God, and as such, you have complete access to him. You can call him, text him anytime, meet with him anytime. The Bible says we have complete access to him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So he is there to help us, to guide us, to walk with us through life. There's a story told of a little boy who stood outside the gates of Buckingham Palace in London, and he wanted to meet the king so bad, but as he went up to the gate, he was reprimanded by the guards at the gate. "You cannot go in, son. I'm sorry. This is a privileged place." Whatever the responses were. The boy turned and began to walk away, and tears in his eyes. He just wanted to meet the king. But as he was walking away, there came a well-dressed man, and he saw the boy crying, and he inquired. He said, "What's going on? Are you okay, little boy?" And the boy said, "I just want to meet the king, but I can't get in to meet him." And the man smiled at him and said, "Hey, here, son, hold my hand. Come with me." And began to walk back, and they walked to the gate. The soldiers were there, and as the little boy's hand is in the hand of this man, to his surprise, the soldiers leap to attention. They present arms as he's there with this gentleman, his newfound friend. They walk past the guards, along the hallways, through all the big doors and all the decor and everything. And right up to the throne of the king, the little boy walked. What had happened? How did he get in? You see, he had taken the hand of the Prince of Wales, the king's son. And through him, he had gained access. You see, we can access God because he sees Jesus. We can access God because we're holding the hand of his son through faith in salvation. We've accepted the gift, and he only sees his son. He does not see our sins, and you and I have complete access to walk up to the throne of grace, to walk up and bring forth our heart's desires, our prayers, and so forth. So how can we take our next step? If you can have peace with God, then you can have peace with yourself. If you can have peace with God, you can have peace with other people. And so seek peace with those that are around you, those you love. Live in peace with them. Those you disagree with, try to work and go through life seeking peace with them. Those that have wronged you, seek peace with them. You see, forgiveness allows you to have peace with other people, even when they're not allowing you to have peace with them. If you can forgive them, just like God has forgiven us, we can have peace. And that can clear up the tension and allow us to have access back into a relationship. How else can we take our next step? Live your life, live your Christian life like a child of the king. A child that has the favor of the king on their life. Quit living a defeated life. Live victoriously. Live like a child that can access the king at any time, anywhere. Spend time with that king. Spend time with your God. And live like a child that has access to the king's resources through prayer. Pray and communicate with God. utilize the access that we have to live a victorious life in this world, knowing you have access, that you have peace with God.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.